Good morning and welcome to all of you. Good to have some additional family here that I don't see very often, Annie and Brandon, and the newest grandbaby. She's getting in some new territory, but it's good to have all of you here. Trust that we can worship together here and learn and be encouraged and be challenged. So as I was asked to share here some time ago. Prior to that, down in our area in Johnstown, we had it was a tragic accident. I don't know how many of you had heard about it, but the mechanic that is the shop is right behind our store is Austin and his fiance Anise Swingle would be back and forth for the last probably 3 years already. They'd been in the store quite often. Anyways, I think it was in September. One morning we've seen on, it was either on Facebook or whatever, there was an accident in 37 North between Johnstown and Sunbury. And come to find out that Austin's fiance was killed in a tragic car accident. And that was kind of a shocker. And, you know, here, someone that you frequently see coming to your store and got to know them fairly good, and yet there's a lot that we didn't know about them. And following that, I kept seeing on the sign, Austin, the mechanic there, put on his sign there by the road, digital sign, living life to the fullest every day, or live your life to the fullest every day. Soon after this accident. And as I kept thinking about that phrase, what does that mean? What does that look like? Living life to the fullest every day. And then I'm like, well, that's not necessarily, that's a good challenging thought as far as that being, you know, a scriptural thought. And then I was connecting it to how would scripture identify that as? And I think as the abundant life, if you will, go to scripture and look at the. So, how do you live life to the fullest every day, or what does it look like to live the abundant life? Am I living that? Are you living that? And I don't know what all was going through. They had been engaged some time, but let me just. And I think Anise would have reminded us. Reminded me of a girl that was, she was purposing to achieve that. She was 27 years old, and let me just read a little bit of what I got off of Facebook. Was she helped Austin there at mechanic, but she had just recently got a job at Walnut Trail Inn as a business director. She was a graduate of Big Walnut High School, attended Columbus State University. She was a veteran, U.S. Army. She was an avid reader, loved animals, all kinds of horses, skilled dog trainer, learned ASL, and a caring friend to many. And what I gathered is when she did something from Austin, it's like she did it right. She was all out. And she loved to drive. She loved her cars. She loved to drive fast. I never heard the results or anything, what the speed was. I did hear that she was going over the speed limit, but an officer told me that that could mean at 62, they would say they were going above the speed limit. Is that what living life to the fullest is, what I just described? How would you describe that? I wrote down some things that I would, maybe you hear people say, you dream it, you achieve it. Stay positive and happy. Work hard, don't give up hope. Sounds good. Life is a question, and the way you live it is the answer. Or no relationship is all sunshine, but two people can share an umbrella and survive the storm together. Or you might say, This was a good one I thought was, see the light in others and treat them as if that's the only thing you see. Look at the good in people and treat them as that's the only thing you see. Now, if we could all do that, that would be wouldn't that be one to put on the list? And maybe some other ideas, living life to the fullest. Happy childhood. This is kind of a phrase of from start to A to B to Z here on this phrase as far as the happy childhood, good school experience, dating a handsome guy or an attractive girl, get engaged and get married, have healthy children, a good job, travel. Or you may want to go west. You've heard the statement, go west, young man. That some people would say that's living life to the fullest. Have a nice house, vacation, and the list goes on and on. Is that what it is? What is it? What would you say? If I give you a piece of paper and a pen right now and write out, what does that mean to you? What does that look like to you? What would you write on there? Winston Churchill said, it shall not be enough to have lived. We should be determined to live for something. Leo Rostov said, I cannot believe that the purpose of life is to be happy. I think the purpose of life is to be useful, to be responsible, to be compassionate, and it is above all to matter to stand for something, to make some difference to the fact that you have lived at all. I don't know how many of you are familiar of, so I Googled, I thought, well, it'd just be interesting to see what is serious. If you Google on your phone, how to live life to the fullest, I found some interesting things that it's endless. But a phrase that I want to read, I don't know how many of you are familiar with, I'm sure Chris is probably for sure, but many, some of you others, Steve Jobs was very much involved in iPhones and computer and technology. But he has on, when I Googled that, it was he had on here 101 ways to live your life to the fullest. Before he started making his list, he wrote this. Your time is limited. Don't waste it living someone else's life. Don't be trapped by dogma, which is living the result of other people's thinking. Don't let the noise of others' opinion drown out your inner voice. And most important, have the courage to follow your heart and intuition. They somehow already know you truly want to become. Everything else is secondary. Steve Jobs. So I looked a little bit about who was he, and well, just a little bit about his life. He was born to two college students that were unmarried, and they gave him up for adoption to Paul and Clara Jobs, whom he considered his real parents. Paul encouraged him to experiment with electronics in their garage and went to college. He had excellent test results, but struggled with formal education. He was a handful to teach, the teacher said. In 79, he traveled to India, searched for spiritual enlightenment, and became aware of the Buddhist and Eastern spiritual philosophy. He also experimented with psychedelic drugs. He later commented that it gave him a wider perspective of life and business on that travel to India. He worked for, I'm not sure if I know the exact pronunciation on this, he worked for Attire Computers, and then he met Steve, pronounce his last name, in 71. In 76, they invented the first Apple computer, if I have that correct, and were sold out of Steve Jobs' parents' garage. So they were putting computers together. In 84, Steve designed the first Macintosh computer. And at that point, there was some friction within the company. Steve was released and left Apple. Later said getting fired or being released was the best thing ever happened. And then he started Next Software, N-E-X-T Software. Next Software was used as a framework on Webojets, used the Apple Store and iTunes Store in 96. Apple bought out Next. So here Apple buys this company that he developed for $429 million and brought Steve back into Apple. Apple was struggling to make profit. In 2008, iTunes became the second biggest music retailer in the U.S. and with 6 billion songs downloaded and over 200 million iPods sold. 2007, the Apple successfully entered the mobile iPhone market with the iPhone. Jobs' partner said this of Steve: the highs to work with him were unbelievable, but the lows were unimaginable. Sounds like he was a handful. At 23, he was worth $1 million. At 24, he was worth $10 million. And at 25, he was worth $100 million. And he said it wasn't important that he didn't do it for the money. 2003, he was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. 2009, liver transplant. 2011, died in California, cancer. I believe it was age 56. He said this: sometimes I believe in God, sometimes I don't. It's about 50-50. Since cancer, I'm thinking about it more, believing a bit more. I want to believe in a life after. I want to believe in life after death. You ask the question, is that living life to the fullest? A couple of comments that he said on that 101 list. Live every day as a fresh new start. Be true to who you are. Quit complaining. Be proactive. Rather than what if, rather than think what if, think the next time. Focus on what versus how. So I think of when I'm reading all that, and I think the list goes on. You've probably known people and heard expressions of what their opinion is about living life to the fullest and, you know, this. I'd like to focus a little bit, talk about part two of the what is the abundant life. If you have that as your background, and a lot of good things that Steve said and others say, but the abundant life. And so if you go to, you don't have to turn to that, but I would go to John 10:10. I think we're familiar with the story about Jesus being the door. A couple times it says that Jesus was giving a parable. But the main verse I want to focus on is John 10:10. A thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and destroy. I am come that you may have life and they might have it more abundantly. What does that mean? So let's just focus a little bit on what does the word abundant really mean? Abundantly, abundant means to superabound in quantity and quality. Not just a huge amount, but in quality of what you have. To cause to excel, to exceed, to make more, to have enough, and to spare, to increase, to rebound, to remain over and above. Exceedingly abundantly above, more abundantly, advantage. Exceedingly, very highly, beyond, massive, and more. I don't know how many of you have ever seen the Grand Canyon. I just seen it for the first time here a couple weeks ago. describes a little bit, just a little picture of, I think, what Jesus is describing here as, what is the abundant life? A couple things I thought about. It's like, you know, you're done bricking a house and you still have a whole pallet of brick left over. Or you're done eating a meal and there's still enough food there for two more meals. That's a little picture, I think, of abundant life. Is that what I'm experiencing spiritually, the living it out? Is that what you're living out? Are you participating in that? Are you engaging in that? I'd like to, and as I was thinking of this in the last couple weeks, a couple of scriptures that you could say this is living the abundant life. In Psalms 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit, and in his season his leaf also shall not wither. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Sounds like abundant life to me. Psalm 16. And these are maybe more of Psalm 16. The psalmist says, I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad, and in my glory rejoice. My flesh also shall rest in hope. Thou wilt show me the path of life, and in thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. And then when you keep reading, and scripture is full of verses of scripture, of stories, of tapping into. You will, that it's plenty. There's plenty there you're tapping into. 2 Corinthians 9, you might say, well, I think this is living life, living the abundant life. Does it have anything to do with sowing and reaping? I mean, if you sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. If you sow in plenty, you reap plenty. That's scripture. That's a promise. So 2 Corinthians 9, 6 to 8. But this is Paul writing, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly, and he that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according to his purpose in his heart. So let him give, not grudgingly, or if necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Sowing and reaping. You could say, well, that's, you know, if you sow right, you'll reap. Is it that simple? I wish it was. So I'm reminded of 2 Peter, a list, and I would tend to think this is a key. A lot of these, there's more than one. But if you go to 2 Peter, I'm going to read a couple verses here. 2 Peter 1. And I just wrote on top here, this is the recipe. So if you ever have a recipe, let me read this. 2 Peter 1, and let me just go to verse 4, or verse 3. According as his divine power has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. I think if you stop right there, it says here, he's already given us everything that pertains to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us glory and virtue. Verse 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And so he gives us a picture of, he's already given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. He's given that to us. as you take that step of faith and come. And then it says, the key verses here, I believe, verse 5, and besides this, giving all diligence to add to your faith. So add to your faith. So I think he's assuming here that you already have faith in God. Now you add to that. Oh, by the way, so if we have a recipe, we got a. I brought a spoon along. So we got to add. So when you mix a recipe and put everything together, you add some things. So let's add to your faith virtue. So if we take a spoon of this, let's just we'll put a spoon of this. Of what? Faith. Add to your faith virtue. All right, we'll get a spoon of virtue and put it in our bucket. And then and add to virtue knowledge. Okay, we'll add a spoonful of knowledge. Add to knowledge temperance and add a spoon of that. Oh, by the way, why don't we use the bucket. So what do we? You want to add a spoonful in the mix, or we might as well use the bucket. Add a bucket of virtue to your faith. What do you use? What do I use? Do we use this, or do we use this? I think sometimes it works pretty good to use the bucket. On some of these things, I think we may not have a lot of problems. You know, add brotherly kindness. So I can do that. And yeah, we'll use the bucket for that. But when it comes to patience, let's read the rest of it here. Add to knowledge temperance. Temperance, self-control. Sometimes all we're using is the spoon. Add to temperance, patience. So patience, are we using the spoon? Are we using the bucket? Godliness. Add to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. Or love. Which one is most comfortable? I think it's a little bit what Chris was sharing in devotions about, you know, do you really want the Holy Spirit? Do you really want to be filled? Yeah, I think so. Yeah, well, as long as it's comfortable, it doesn't push me out of my comfort zone too much. That we can add. At the end of the list here, after we've added all these things to our faith, verse 8, for if these things be in you and abound, again, there's the definition of abundant. If they're in you and they abound, they will make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and has forgotten what he's been purged from. You know, I think we're all made of the same cookie dough, so to speak. And we're leaky vessels. In fact, Paul talks about that we're in this jar of earthen clay. And so thinking about that if you can follow that recipe, that'll secure it, that'll cure it, that'll be sufficient. I'd like to read, we haven't talked much, let me go to 2 Corinthians and Paul is talking about 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 6. But this I say, he that, actually I've already read that, let's see, 2 Corinthians 11. 11, 21. Paul is describing his, a lot of his life right here. And he's talking about, let's pick up verse 22. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I am more. I am more in labors, more abundant in stripes, above measure, in prisons more frequent, in death often. Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Three times I was beaten, I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. The night I've been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, and on the list goes of Paul's experiences. And did Paul know about this recipe? I think he did. I think there was, and yet at the end, Paul was going through. If we go to verse 28, then he still took care of the churches. After all of this, and then in 2 Timothy, here we have Paul giving the charge to Timothy about all the difficult things that he's went through. And here he's telling Paul, or encouraging Timothy to take charge. Be instant, preach instant, be out of, instant in season and out of season. And then Paul tells Timothy, he says, I'm ready to go. My departure is at hand. There's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. I think Paul, looking at the end of, so just because you meditate on the word and everything you do will prosper, doesn't necessarily avoid us, doesn't promise that we'll never face suffering, that we'll never face difficult things in life. But when you do, God has made it available. The bucket is full. The reservoir is full. The Grand Canyon is full to tap into. It's there. It's available to us. It's made ready for us. So to thinking of Paul's life, is that living the abundant life? I wonder what, let's just say, I wonder what would Paul say? And I think he says, in spite of all of this, that he has purposed. He was faithful. He's fought a good fight, finished his course, and he was ready to go. Another person I thought of here in closing that I want to just briefly touch on was, all of you probably are familiar with Johnny Erickson Tada. And I think, as I told my wife on the way to church this morning, I think, you know, all of you probably know about that. And it's like, why even talk about that? We know what she went through. I didn't. I thought I knew a lot. I just wanted to read a little bit because I'm like, is that living the abundant life of what happened to her and all the suffering and all the pain and things that she went through and paralyzed? And I just thought, when I read her story, it was like, you know, don't ever take physical handicap as a problem or as it's sacrifice. It's that God, how God wants to use that in ways that is beyond our imagination. She started Johnny and Friends in 79, radio programs in 82, was program of the year in 2002. She did speaker at, she created family retreats, in a number of different other ministries that she was involved in that I had no idea. She had a ministry, Wounded Warriors. It was when men came back, or people came back from war, being overseas, and she would had a special ministry going on for the handicapped and disabled men that came back. Wheels for the World, she would buy, or she would somehow collect all the old worn out wheelchairs, and she had men in prison volunteer and refurbish all these wheelchairs and send them overseas, and physical therapists would fit these for people overseas, and had a wheelchair fitted and everything. Was another part of her ministry. 2005, she was appointed to the state U.S. State Department on the Disability Advisory Committee. Also served on the National Council Disability under Reagan and Bush. She was a conference speaker. She was on Larry King Show Live three times. And in 82, she got married. 2010, was diagnosed with cancer, stage 3 breast cancer. And a number of years later, she was considered free of that. 2018, she was diagnosed with malignant cancer. And as of July of this year, she was free from cancer, from malignant. And you think of what her life consisted of. Is that living, is that the abundant life that John is talking about? That's what Jesus came to redeem and to take what we may think is tragedy. So recently, just last week, or I was listening, heard a man, they were talking to someone else that he walked up to a sidewalk, and here in the stone of the sidewalk where he sat down, there was carved about a little boy that at age 7 or 8, I'm not sure what the accident was, but died, and another one. And his comment and his response to that was, that's just wrong. That's wrong. It's not right. And I'm like, well, you know, what was his view of the abundant life? But as we think of the difference in response, you know, as I was reading and thinking about Steve Jobs, he said he's got a lot of good things that he said, statements, writings. And at the end, I'm not here to judge. You know, it says he wants to believe more since his cancer and before he died. Back to reading that comment, statement that he wrote, he said, you know, he realized life is short. Don't waste it on living someone else's life. Be yourself, be in tune, and walk with God. And then I think of the Apostle Paul, his statement after his life. It's like there was no doubt, I don't believe, in his life that I'm convinced. I'm ready to go. There's laid up for me a crown of righteousness that is ahead of me. The challenge that I guess that I just encourage and leave with us this morning, as I drove through that and started seeing that phrase on that sign, it's left an impact and influence, and I'm like, what? Today, tomorrow, am I living? Is this what life is all about? Make the most of it. And don't forget, I didn't even make a list of them, but don't forget even the small things in life. And I appreciate it. I think it was last Sunday morning. Trying to think, and if I was texting Dave about something, and he texts back and he said, hey, did you see the rainbow this morning? I said, no. And anyways, and I went out and looked. Never seen a rainbow like this before. It was usually in the east. It was north and looked. I went out the back porch and it was about 3 or 4 strings up here. And then in the north, totally different. Does that do anything? You know, that's life. Let's not miss it. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, this morning for being our Lord, for being our Father, the one that has given us life and life more abundantly. And may we somehow continue to walk with you and be able to comprehend and continue to understand what that really looks like. Are we experiencing it to the fullest? To be abounding, to have plenty, to have left over as we reach out and bless others as you have blessed us. Just continue to be with us as we fellowship and worship in Jesus' name. Amen.